The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Last year, Apple's decision to let users of its devices opt out of tracking by apps rocked the digital advertising industry, with platforms like Facebook losing out on billions in ad revenue as a result. But things didn't have to turn out this way. According to exclusive reporting from The Wall Street Journal, in the years before Apple's privacy changes, Apple and Facebook had a series of meetings about potential partnerships. On today's show, our reporter Salvador Rodriguez joins us to discuss what was behind these conversations, the ideas that were on the table, and why the talks fell apart. That's after these headlines. New data shows it's getting harder for streaming companies to hold on to subscribers. Around 19% of subscribers to premium streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV Plus canceled three or more subscriptions in the 2 years up to June, according to subscriber measurement firm Antenna. A lot of people have signed up for multiple streaming services over the last few years, as more platforms entered the marketplace and demand for at-home entertainment grew. But that demand is changing as people start doing more things outside the house again and inflation raises concerns about family budgets. Our reporter Sarah Kraus says that's leaving streaming companies with two problems.
One is to go find customers that they haven't had before. The other is to keep the customers that they currently have, because when you have customers sort of churning off regularly, you have to then pay to reacquire them, whether that's through a marketing push or through content that creates a buzz and that sort of, you know, draws them back in. And so this kind of behavior really helps sum up a lot of the current challenges for this industry.
In other streaming news, we report exclusively Walmart has reached a deal to offer the streaming service Paramount Plus to subscribers of Walmart's membership program called Walmart Plus. That's according to people familiar with the discussions. Walmart has been exploring a subscription video streaming deal to challenge Amazon and its Prime membership program. Walmart and Paramount declined to comment. Tech mergers are facing more scrutiny under the Biden administration as the Federal Trade Commission takes a tougher stance on any deals it thinks could create antitrust issues. The FTC can sue to block acquisitions or reach settlements that require companies to undo some effects of a merger. Under Chair Lina Khan, the regulator has been doing this more often. It challenged two mergers in the semiconductor industry that were later called off, and it's challenging Facebook parent Meta's plans to buy a virtual reality fitness company. Our reporter Dave Michaels says Khan's approach differs from her predecessors.
She does not put all the onus on just looking at whether prices are going up or prices are going down as the main indicator of whether a monopoly has occurred or whether a deal could be illegal. She takes a much broader view of what she thinks is legal competition. She wants to look at the whole landscape of competition, including, you know, how many companies are in the market, whether enough innovation is occurring, what the impact is on labor. She's willing to bring cases based on theories that are a little different than what her predecessors have brought.
You can hear more from Dave on this morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? And the board of Unity, the operator of a platform for developing video games, is recommending shareholders vote against a buyout offer from AppLovin. Last week, AppLovin, which makes tools for app developers to improve marketing and revenue generation, offered $17.5 billion for Unity. But on Monday, Unity's board set a separate proposal for a $4.4 billion merger with the publishing platform ironSource would create more benefits for shareholders. Representatives for AppLovin didn't respond to request for comment. All right, coming up, we'll discuss the secret talks between Facebook and Apple that could have led the rivals to become partners. That's after the break.
Today's world is difficult to recognize. Our experience and advanced analytics help you find the value amidst the volatility. Aon is in the business of better decisions.
Ever since Apple rolled out its iOS 14.5 last year, making it easier for users to restrict what data apps could collect, Facebook has had a problem. The company and rivals like Twitter and Snapchat have seen their ad revenue drop. That's because their ability to target advertising to users has been hampered by Apple's decision to let users opt out of having their online activity tracked. Facebook and Apple have been at odds ever since. But the Wall Street Journal has exclusively learned that Apple and Facebook, back before it changed its name to Meta, were once engaged in secret conversations about a potential partnership, including revenue-sharing arrangements. Joining us to discuss what the companies talked about and why it didn't work out is our reporter, Salvador Rodriguez. Hi, Sal. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So, let's start with, you know, your reporting found that this feud maybe between Apple and Facebook might not have come about. What kinds of things were the two companies discussing before Apple put in its privacy policies with its iOS 14.5?
Yeah, what we found in our reporting is that before Apple introduced iOS 14 and really revolutionized the digital ad industry, before all that came to be, Apple and Facebook had discussions over several years about a number of different ways that the two companies could work together that would actually give some of Facebook's revenue over to Apple by way of the standard 30% cut that Apple takes from its app developers. That's according to people familiar with the discussions.
Okay, so what were the ways that Apple was trying to get at some of that revenue?
Yeah, so basically this was all happening during a time when Apple was really trying to ramp up its services business. And one way to do that was by getting folks to add more in-app purchases to their apps or create features or business models that included subscription revenue. So we understand that some of the suggestions that were made were gifting for creators. But more notably, there was a talk of creating a subscription-based ad-free Facebook. The other thing that was also haggled over between the two companies was over a very specific Facebook product called Boosted Posts. There was some on the Apple side who argued that this product was not an advertisement, but rather an in-app purchase. And if Apple had ultimately decided that it was an in-app purchase, that would have entitled the iPhone maker to 30% of the revenue generated by Facebook on that particular product.
What was Facebook's reaction to these proposals, for example, to having, you know, boosting be considered an in-app purchase or even to starting a subscription service for Facebook?
From my reporting, it's my understanding that the subscription-based Facebook was something that was thought of but never really seriously considered. It just goes completely against what Facebook has always argued. It goes completely against their advertising business. When it comes to Boosted Posts, they were very steadfast that that was an advertising product and Apple does not take advertising revenue. From the Facebook side, they argued that even though this is something that you can purchase through your smartphone, a lot of times these are small businesses that are purchasing ads in this manner. It might be a food truck owner who isn't really running their business out of a laptop, but still needs to advertise, and doing it through their smartphone just makes the most sense for that particular advertiser. They also argue that just like with other ads in their system, when you place this ad, you have to determine how many people you would like to see this ad, for how long, and it even goes into the bidding system. So it's competing against other ads. So they argued and held firm that Boosted Posts are advertisements. They are not in-app purchases.
Okay, so Facebook didn't bite on those offers, but has Apple had these kinds of conversations, maybe these proposals to other companies apart from Facebook?
Well, that's the big question. That's certainly what a lot of people are wondering about. We do know that Apple has a deal in place with Google that makes Google the default search engine for the Safari browser on the iPhone. And it's something where Google pays Apple billions of dollars annually to hold that ground. And after our story went out, we heard from at least one developer who said that they found themselves in a similar situation as Facebook with a boosted post feature of their own. And in that particular case, their app was rejected until they implemented that feature as an in-app purchase and gave Apple the 30% cut.
What have the companies said in response to your reporting? What have you heard from Apple and from Facebook?
Facebook didn't contest our findings, especially in regards to their relationship with Apple. And Apple, meanwhile, what they had to say is that they have these type of conversations with all sorts of developers all the time. No matter how big or small developers might be, they usually go in and meet with developers and they tend to make suggestions for different business models that they see working throughout their app store ecosystem. So what they argued is that this is not out of the ordinary and this was certainly not a quid pro quo.
You know, this position on ads, on kind of privacy versus personalization, it really has created this disparity between how different big tech companies sort of see the digital world. Where is it leaving the relationship between Facebook and Apple now?
It really redefines the relationship between the two, because as these privacy changes were coming out, there was a very sort of moral argument that was happening with Apple saying that, you know, user privacy, that's what matters most. That's what we're all about. That's what we're trying to protect with these changes. And Facebook arguing that we think personalized ads are what consumers want. And we think that these type of ads help small businesses. That's how it was framed in the time immediately after the change and in the time right before it. However, now knowing that these two companies considered working together, they certainly talked about it, there were back and forths, it really just makes you wonder, what would the digital ad industry look like today if perhaps they had come to some sort of agreement that did work for both?
All right, that was our reporter, Salvador Rodriguez. Thanks so much for joining us, Sal.
Thank you, as always.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Join the Wall Street Journal for Tech Live and watch tech's biggest players break tech's biggest news. Live from Montage Laguna Beach on October 24th through 26th. Use code PODCAST and save 20% on your online pass. Register now at wsj.com/techlive22.